They will respect my son. Just the thought of these words coming forth from the mouth of the Father in heaven before he sends his only son into the vineyard of the world sends shivers down my spine. How did God feel when he made this act of entrusting his son to us? Now, when Jesus is telling this parable, he's obviously using a very strong, powerful allegory with images familiar to his fellow chosen people of Israel. The vineyard is God's people who belong to him and whom he loves, protects, and cares for. He expects this chosen people to bear fruit. For all the love and care that he has invested in them, he expects a return of love from his people. Certainly, this passage reminds us that all that we have comes from God and belongs to us only because he has protected, preserved, and sustained us. We owe everything to him. And this beautiful image also shows us the lengths that God has gone in order to nurture and protect his vineyard, to make sure that it does bear fruit. He spaded it. He cleared it of stones, planted the choicest vines, built a watchtower within it, a wine press, the hedge, the wall that keeps out intruders. It's a lot of work. But in the ancient world, where clean water was not easy to come by, having a vineyard was something that could ensure life-giving sustenance, a safe way of hydrating the body. And that's the type of care that God has to sustain our life. Now, in Isaiah's prophecy, the problem was that the vineyard bore bad fruit, wild, sour grapes. But when Jesus says his parable, the vineyard seems to be bearing good fruit. The life is attainable. But someone has to harvest this fruit, and a return on the growth is expected. The tenants have been placed in charge of the vineyard for just that purpose. The tenants, Jesus clearly indicates, are the religious leaders of his time. They've produced a good harvest, a good product. They've maintained the law which guides the people to life. However, they themselves want to reap the reward. They've gotten caught up in themselves. The servants, the prophets, have been sent to remind them that the vineyard doesn't belong to them, but to the Lord. But those prophets were rejected. And so God says, I will send my son. They will respect my son. I'd like to break from the story here for now. Today we celebrate Respect Life Sunday. I can't help but make connections between this vineyard of the Lord and the vulnerable gifts that have been entrusted to us to guard and to respect. The vineyard of human life, of the earth and all its resources. Think of how vulnerable those grapes are on the vine, just sitting there. The vineyard of the Lord's creation is vulnerable too. And the choicest vine is the human person, made in God's image and likeness. That's why the church reminds us of our duty to defend life at all its stages, especially when it is vulnerable. And this week, a memory has been flooding my mind. A while back, I was driving my car, listening to Relevant Radio, the Catholic channel. And I always loved the 3 o'clock hour, when listeners throughout the country pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet together. People call in with their intentions, and we pray, invoking God's mercy at that time when Jesus died on the cross for us. That day, an anonymous caller asked for prayers for his wife and for his unborn child. It was like a sword went straight to my heart. It was a voice I knew. There was no doubt. I'll allow this person to remain anonymous. But he explained on the air how his wife had had severe postpartum depression with a previous birth and was terrified at the thought of going through it again. She was convinced that she could not endure it and that there was only one option. Her husband, the caller, had counseled her to wait at least a few more days. She had an appointment at Planned Parenthood. And he was desperate to save both his unborn child and his wife. Distraught, he said, "I don't know what to do except ask you to pray." Driving in my car, I was overwhelmed by the weight of this situation. It almost drove me off the road as my eyes filled with tears. And over the next few weeks, as I prayed, I learned a lot, knowing that I could not reveal that I knew what was going on, and aware that I wouldn't know the result of our prayers for quite some time. I learned about the heroism that is demanded of mothers in difficult situations, the heroism that it takes to choose life for their children. I also learned and felt the overwhelming sense of God's mercy. As much as I knew how damaging this decision could be for the child, for the mother, for their marriage, for their family, as much as I knew how God did not want this, I knew He would be ready to heal and to forgive. His mercy was bigger than the pain that was present. I learned something about the heart of a father. This father had done his part to protect the vineyard, the precious and vulnerable gift of life. His prayer, his faithfulness, his support surrounded this vineyard. Think of it. If his wife didn't think that she'd be supported by her husband, how much more difficult would it be to say yes to life? And finally, I learned the power of prayer. Thankfully, this story has a happy ending. I cannot even begin to tell you how important our prayers are for the protection of all human life. When God sent His only Son into the world saying, "They will respect my Son," He was sending Him divested of power and majesty, just like us, weak, totally vulnerable. But the Father believed that the tenants of the vineyard would recognize in the Son the face of the Father, that they would see and love the Father in the Son. My friend, each and every person on the face of this earth, especially the vulnerable, who in that way are so much like Jesus, they are here to show us the face of the Father. As Pope Francis said, even the weakest and the most vulnerable, the sick, the old, the unborn, and the poor, are masterpieces of God's creation, made in His own image, destined to live forever, and deserving of the utmost reverence and respect. If we see everyone as a masterpiece of God's creation, made in the image of God, if we see the face of Christ in every single person sent to us, especially the vulnerable, the lowly, the forgotten, now can you imagine how the Father felt when He said, "They will respect my Son"? To this day, when I see that child held tenderly in his mother's arms, in the secret of my heart, I know how the Father felt.